Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I said amen.
Amen.
And I declare that that will be your portion today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
God will give you direction in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And He will give you, listen to this, very importantly, correction in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The truth is that many things that we are going through in life is because there's a procedure we are using that's wrong. And you are still using it because you think it's right. All right? Every man's way, the Bible says, is right in his own eyes. But so what God gives to you before He can bless you is correction. Therefore, you will receive correction today in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And you will not be stubborn. You will listen to it in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good. Let's take our seats. You know, last Saturday, I spoke at length, hoping to finish this series last Saturday. So when I left, I thought I had finished it. And during the week, I now remembered something. And I remember that day I was reading here, I made a note of it, but it not escaped me as we were teaching. But I believe during the week, the Holy Spirit reminded me. And we're going to just take one more session on the pursuit and the use of faith. And I want to talk again specifically about how to get faith again. We are going on in that dimension once again. Let's open our Bibles to, of course, we have been reading this again and again. Let's read the book of Romans chapter 10. I'm going to read two portions. After that, we'll go to the book of Colossians chapter 1. Let's start with that Romans chapter 10 again, which we have read it many times. So we'll just be quick with that. Then quickly we'll flip over to Colossians chapter 1 that I mentioned. How does faith come? How do we acquire faith? He said, with the heart man believes, it results in righteousness. And with the mouth he confesses, producing salvation. He said in verse 14, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. He said, just because somebody spoke does not mean people will obey or believe the word. So he said in verse 16, however, they did not all heed the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? Paul now said in brackets, essentially, so faith comes from hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. He said, faith comes from hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. He said, but I say, surely they have never heard, have they? Indeed they have. Their voice have gone out into all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. Now please note that, I'm going to come back to it in a moment. Let's read the other one that we'll read, the book of Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to start from verse 24. Colossians chapter 1, I'm going to read from verse 24. Now, Paul again was writing here. He said, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. He said, of this church, I was made a minister, according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. That is, this is the word of God, all right? The mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints, to whom God, that is these saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is, this is something that God planned for a very long time. This is God's, secret agenda, something he built for generations. In fact, before the foundation, all right, of the earth, he said it's something that was hidden in past ages. What does that tell you? The Jews actually did not know about it. Abraham did not understand it. Noah did not get the point. Adam did not even know what they were talking about, even though everybody knew that something was going to come. In fact, the Bible says that the angels prophesied these things. All right, sorry, the prophets prophesied these things. And then when they sought to know what the spirit of Christ, that spirit was leading to Christ, that spirit inside them, what it was saying, it was told to them that this thing is not for your time. It's for another time to come. That is, it was hidden in the ages past. Now, I want to say something again today. It's something you've heard me say again and again, but we have to just emphasize this point. People must understand it. They don't know how things are broken. The division of the history of mankind is at a particular point. Jesus is the point of division. Everything was before him, and everything after that is after him. He marks a division. I'll talk about that later. But what I want to bring out is that people didn't understand Christ. And the problem you are having today is that many preachers are still bringing the old and trying, all right, to make Christians walk in the old. They just look for words that are similar. They take a church today, a church building, and equate it to the temple of God just because the church building is a structure and the temple of Israel was a structure. But actually, after Jesus came, things changed entirely. And right now, there are no buildings that are temples of God nowhere on this earth. No matter how beautiful a building is, it's a convenient meeting place. So if you have to design a church building, put the convenience of meeting first in your heart. And don't say, this is a building worthy of my God. It's nonsense talk. Are you getting my point? It's nonsense talk. The important thing is that, are the people comfortable? Any building where Christians are comfortable is where God is comfortable. Any building where Christians are not comfortable, God is not comfortable there. I hope you're getting my point. That's just all it is about. The body of believers is, all right, their bodies now constitute the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we'll talk about that later. Now, so I'm looking at something here, all right? Things were hidden in time past, and then people did not know what God was doing. What actually where God was going was to bring somebody to the earth. Where he was going was to bring himself in the person of his son to the earth. What he was doing was to bring Christ to the earth. Everything that was done before that was for a particular purpose, so as to bring Jesus to the earth. So Paul said this mystery was hidden. And there's so much of it that people didn't understand. It would surprise you that God tried to explain this thing. Jesus himself tried to explain some of these things to Peter, to James, to John. They didn't get the point. A part of it. After Jesus preached and he left, they still thought, and you see here Christians say till today, that the Jews are the chosen people of God. I have never heard a greater insult to Jesus Christ than that. I hope you're getting my point. Listen, the Jews were chosen for a purpose, emphasis on the past tense. They were chosen to bring Jesus to the earth. And once Jesus came, the only special person in the eyes of God has to become special through Christ. Therefore, if a Jew wants to be special, he comes into Christ. And that coming into Christ is open to everybody. To Arabs, to Africans, to Eskimos. Are you getting my point? To South Americans. Jew or Gentile, the Bible says there is no difference anymore. Now, this was what Peter didn't understand. And that's what Paul was saying, that nobody understood it. So God had to specially choose me so I could explain it. I hope you're getting my point. Yes. Paul said, look, Jesus taught it to Peter. Peter, look, after everything that happened, he said, will you at this point restore the kingdom back to Israel? Behold the Lamb of God that's taking away the sins of the whole world. Will you at this time restore the kingdom back to Israel? Look, let me not sit on that. I always get carried away when I get to that point. What I'm going to say is that everything that God ever planned, the reason why he made the seas, made the sun, made the stars, everything was to come to a particular head, and that is Christ. And he said every blessing he wanted to bless anybody with, he packaged it in Christ. He said, this is the mystery. He said, verse 26, which was hidden in past generations. It has now been manifested to his saints. And what is that mystery? Go down to the end of 27. That mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Anything you are going to expect in this life has to come through Christ. It's only when Christ is in you that God's glory is manifested. I've been talking about the difference between spiritualism or spiritism and spirituality. The difference is that spiritual realm is real. People can learn things, and many things that preachers teach and they call Christianity is just pure spiritualism. That is the way you learn physics and learn biology. You can go learn genetic engineering. You can cause some effects. In the same manner, you can learn spiritual laws and they work. But that's not Christianity. This is what marks Christianity. It has to be Christ-centered. The message must be centered around Christ. For example, they said, how come you have prospered? Some say, I've been a diligent giver. That is stupidity. That's not Christianity. Are you getting my point? If you say to a Christian, how come you prospered? You say, Christ died that I might prosper. His resurrection is a sign that poverty has been broken. That's Christianity. Would a Christian give? Yes. He gives from this other end. Knowing that he has prospered, he's not afraid to give. You're getting the difference now. Knowing that he has prospered, giving is not a problem. So giving is a sign of his faith. It's not the cause of his prosperity. No. You know the grace of the Lord Jesus. You know the rest of it. He was rich. For your sake, he became poor. So that you, through his poverty, might become rich. That's it. How come I'm healed? How come I'm well? How come my genes don't determine my destiny? He said, listen, I've checked some correct herbs. I drink, you know, pastors open their pulpits and allow people come and pollute it. Pulpits are polluted. You bring nutrition experts to sit on pulpits on Sunday. Pastors are funny people. They pay for airtime and get one doctor to be teaching on cholesterol. And that's a Christian television. Doc, what do you have to say? You know, if you are eating garlic. So Christians said, look, the key to sound cardiovascular health, aerobics. So Christians join gym. They start running up and down, sometimes like the devil, to and fro. I always like to say nothing wrong with it. When I say nothing wrong with it, that exercise in itself, it has little profit. Don't let anybody deceive you that the profit is much. The Bible says it profits little. It profits for a little while. Don't let anybody deceive you that these thin women you see on television are in perfect shape. No, they are all sick people. All those models you see, they are physiologically abnormal. So don't let anybody try and impress you. And you are thin, you will live long. Listen, when you are thin, I'm going to jam, you die faster. Trust me. The key to health is not how much you jogged. That's the point I'm making. I'm not saying exercise is bad. Like I told you many times, I like to keep fit also. It's good. My favorite exercise is carrying iron. Yes, I love it. It gives you this kind of, you know, you feel good. You enter the gym, you're eating iron, you're feeling happy, you feel like a man. But that is where it stops. Does it make you live long? I hope you're getting my point. What is the guarantee of long life for the believer? He said Jesus died so as to free those who, by reason of the fear of death, were held in bondage all their lives. Death is broken by the sacrifice of Jesus. Long life is a promise, not to the athlete, but to those who believe. God did say, if you shall run 100 meters, maybe 5 times every other day, then I shall make you live long. He said, no. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Why? Because he has loved me. Every promise of God is encapsulated in Christ. It said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what I'm talking about. How do I prosper? You know, I was having a discussion the other day with some people. They said, God is going to reveal long-term plan to you. I said, I don't know. If all your plans have worked out well, God hasn't blessed you yet. You have not yet been blessed. You are still warming up for blessing. A sign that God wants to bless you is after you make good plans, they scatter. Then you know the Lord is on my case. That is when you know the Lord is on my case. When all your projections, 5 years, 7 years, 10 years, they have been coming to pass, worry. And then you'll be concerned. I say, God, what's happening? Why did you abandon me? God said, what did I do to abandon you? All my plans for 10 years have come to pass. Lord said, you are wise. He said, what shall I do now? Make no plans henceforth. Identify each day of your life and fill each day with fullness. Make sure you identify the things you're supposed to do in each season and fill it, that is, fulfill everything. Where I will take you to next, you don't know. Anyway, I just said to my wife, I don't get time to talk. We say, no, God likes us to plan long. It's a lie. Read your Bible. There's nobody that has a very long-term plan in the scriptures. If you have it, God scatters it. When you're about to retire, your name is Abraham, they call you. When you give up, say, what do I get since that I go childless? They give you a child. If people say, you know, Joseph had a dream. Forget that thing. Joseph's dream was meaningless. Joseph did not know about Pharaoh when he was dreaming funny dreams. He was dreaming of stars and sun and moon. How about I'm saying it's clear? He did not plan to be sold into slavery. He woke up one morning and said, my brethren, thou shalt conspire against me. I confess it. Everybody begin to conspire. Right now, sell me into slavery. If you know the path to your destiny more than faithfulness to the general word of God, you are confused. If you know the path that will take you to your destiny, then you don't know anything yet. What should I know? You say, each day has its own troubles. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Have plans for each day. What do I mean by each day? I am a student. I just gained admission into university. I entered there today. They tell me my admission letter. 4 years. At the end, we'll give you bachelor's in physics. Bachelor's of science in physics. So he said, good. Excellence is the will of God. So what is my plan? Read my book. What's my plan? Attend my lectures. What's my plan? Do my assignments. Academically, I do all of that thing. And I aim to be excellent in everything that I do. As a normal person, of course, I keep studying the word of God. I keep improving myself spiritually. I do all of these things. Why? The day is 4 years. What's the next day after that? They say, Nigeria, you're going for NYSC. Then you start praying. If you check the literal, some versions have this translation for that Lord's Prayer. Say, give us our bread for the morrow. That is, at the end of that day, the man begins to make plans and prayers for the next day. What is the next day? Lord, where am I going to serve? I leave it in your hands. There are things you just say, Lord, I don't care. There are times. Now they say, choose. All right, Lord, where do I choose? Say, three options. Okay, I would like to go to this particular place. I throw it inside there. And then when I'm tossed anywhere, I begin to pray again. My next day is 1 year. It's NYSC. And what do I do that period? I do the best I can. I find a lot of free time. I do community service. I help people. I keep on developing myself spiritually. I read. Why? This 1 year must be filled to the full. Many people don't realize that they're going to say, what's wrong with this town? There's no light here. And they start making plans. You know, in 5 years, I should be working in KPMG. After that, I will resign. And I know all those plans are built upon what they saw somebody else do. They don't even realize it. You are a woman, you have read the story of Ibukun Awosika. You are trying to be Ibukun Awosika version 2. Yes, 2.0. You don't realize it. You are building things, all right? According to what she has experienced, not knowing that nobody planned those things ahead. People's plans fail, and it's normal. If your plans haven't failed yet, you are not blessed yet. Or maybe you are so wise, you've been careful not to make any plans. My friend Pastor Corey said something once. He said, as a young man, of course, vibrant, full of the Holy Spirit, full of the word, full of zeal, he used to say that, listen, you see a man who will start the church. After 1 year, you don't have 50 members. After 1 year, you don't have 100 members. He said, either you are not serious or God did not call you. Then he started the church. After 1 year, didn't have 2 members. He got the point. He said, in fact, he made up his mind. After he had prayed and done 2 types of fasting, there's a fasting in which you see food. You say, no, I shall not eat. I want to wait upon the Lord. There's one in which you are waiting upon the Lord because there's nothing else to do anyway. My brother testified that he did all of that too. Finally, he made up his mind one day. He said, God, I have now realized you did not call me. I am going back home. That day, he made up his mind. One man came to him and said, the Lord said I should be a member of your church. Are you getting my point? You are making your plans, it's working out. You are not blessed yet. Go and read. You know, when I recommend books, please read them. The Happiest People on Earth by Damon Shakaria. He went to Texas. They said, in Texas, we do everything big. We are going to gather all the Christians big. They had a big hall. Took big adverts. Put out big billboards. The pastor there hosting him said, look, this is Texas. Here we do everything big. And then the day he was feeling very happy. As they drove towards the place, expecting that the big hall would be full of big cars and big people. When they approached, something surprised him. The car lot was kind of empty. He said, maybe they take train come or bus. Enter the hall. God is good. Nobody came. Nobody came. Nobody. They sat, that is, the only people there were those who organized. You know, God is very efficient in some things. When he wants to frustrate you, he does this in such a way, you know, only him, even the devil doesn't have that power. You know, there are powers the devil doesn't have. Because the devil can go trying to persuade people, don't go, don't go, don't go. He has to be tempting them one by one. God just commands, nobody shall come. And that's it. Nobody's coming. The devil has to go one by one and say, where are you going? The Moshe Karen's meeting. Why do you want to go there? What are you going to look for there? Sit at home. And by the time he recruits himself and all his hell, their demons, one or two stubborn people will go by force. But when God says, nobody shall eat of thy fruit, that's all. The creation cooperates. God frustrated the Moshe Karen. The man couldn't believe it. Texas, we do everything big, big. When they got there, things were so small they did not exist. Finally, one of the women, that one of the organizers, she said, well, since we are here, we paid for the hall, let me just preach. So she started preaching. Preach her heart out. And Demo Shekinah was one. This is a salvation message. She knows all of us here. We're all believers. Why is she preaching like this? Then when she finished to make it work, she made an altar call. If you want to give your life to Christ, come forward right now. And the mother was looking like, is this girl okay? Is she doubting our salvation? To his surprise, he heard movement. He looked behind. The janitor was listening to the message. And when the woman gave an altar call, he came down crying. Go and read the book. I've quoted it so many times. By the time the Moshe Karen was done, he was frustrated. He said, I'm not doing again. he folded up Full Gospel Business Men's Fellowship International, or he started to fold it up. That was when the Lord stepped in. Then he has been spending all his money. His most faithful follower said to him, if nothing changes by next week, me too, I'm leaving. That day, he and his wife, they were together. I think they were praying, saying, Lord, thank you very much. We yield ourselves to you. This is not working. We are folding it up. Then, I think he fell over under the power of the Spirit. Then began to have visions. And at that time, his wife was playing, and she was talking. She wasn't seeing the visions, but she was running commentary on the vision that he was seeing. By next day, somebody sent money. Next day, another person said, listen, I own a press. Let's start printing a magazine. Next day, the thing started picking up, until now they have thousands of chapters worldwide. If your own plans worked, God hasn't blessed you yet. Trust me. At the end of 3 years, 4 years, I'll do that. And it's been working out like that. Just be afraid. Say, God, when are you going to scatter things so I will know you are working? People think it's a mark of spirituality. That I began to declare it and it came to pass just like I said. God's blessing, everything he planned, he encapsulated in Christ. That's why I'm not saying all of these things. It's not in our own ideas. Why did I go into all the things what we just went over now? Many times Christians spend their energy trying to learn how to pull spiritual strings. And they think it's a sign of faith. They spend energy learning how to arrange things by themselves, to what they have planned spiritually. And they think it's a sign of faith. No. Paul said, when I wanted to preach to you, I ensured one thing. That I did not declare anything apart from Christ and him crucified. Anything that will not come into your life on the basis of that, I'm not going to preach it. It's not Christianity. That's what I'm going to all of these things. Listen, what comes into your life is by reason of what Christ, God packaged for you in Christ. And as you discover Christ and get to know him more and become more transformed into the likeness of that Christ Jesus, the blessings start oozing out by themselves. Let me say something to you again, which people of faith often don't realize. It is not only what you ask for that God gives to you. Many things he wants to give to you, you can't even ask. You don't know that they are needed. We know our best example, Solomon. What will you want me to do for you? We've read from the scriptures, he asked for one thing. God said, because you did not ask for this, I will give it to you. Some things you ask for, it is the reason why God doesn't want to give them to you. If Solomon had asked for long life and the life of his enemies, God would have given to him because he promised, but he would not have been pleased. But he said, you know how to ask for what is important. Then I will give you other things that people are dying for, even though you never asked for them. God can bring things into your life you did not know they existed until 1 hour before they came. Adam only had the perception. I thought that last Sunday in Makodi. He had the perception that something was out of order. But he did not know what Eve was supposed to be like. He had never seen an Eve. If you tell him, draw a picture of the kind of help you need, he will put a donkey at a dog's mouth so he can bite his enemies. So a donkey can carry him about, dog's mouth for his enemies, venom in the mouth of the donkey, again for protection. Then put wings on the donkey so he can fly. He will try all of that. But God said, that's not the kind of help you need. Let me do it. Lie down here, sleep. He took from him a rib and formed into a woman and brought to Adam. The moment Adam saw it, he knew it was right. Yet he could never plan it ahead. There are people listening to me today. Next year, you will not even be living in Africa. The part of the world you'll be living in, you'll be surprised. How did I get here? Many people here, let me tell you the truth. I was praying for one brother the other day. I said, this is the word of the Lord that just in my heart for you. People are going out to start businesses. I said, but you, a word will be fulfilled in your life. You will live in houses you did not build. The business you will own and run, you won't start it. Somebody else will. That is a matter of fact. Don't think it's your plans that will come to pass. Christians think, no, they mix business planning with faith. All of it because we can't trust. We can't trust. That's the problem. We can't trust. If we're able to trust, there are times we won't care. Once you are faithful in the assignment for today, you know, God is planning. He has plans ahead. In due season, it's okay, this is where you are stepping into next. What's the job of the believer? He said, listen, occupy with this until I come. God is coming. And let nobody tell me God likes long-term plans. Do you know what he's bringing when he's coming? If he gave you minutes for today, just be multiplying it. He said, that's the day, the assignment for that day. You're telling me your daddy. Now the whole of Eastern Nigeria listens to you on, that is, many of you listen to Okemuti on radio. Many people will come and say, I don't go to church again. This is now my church. Just listen on radio. They will go to church, park outside, and be listening. That when I finish, I will enter church. I was listening when the woman said, today's service is over. He listened to a radio program for an hour and a half. He said, today's service is over. Where else am I going? You're telling me last week, you never thought of going on radio in the future. Not even talking about now. That is like, as I'm bringing, I'll go. No. Let me just be pastoring his church in one corner. I wanted somebody to say, hey, I'm looking for somebody to be doing a program on radio. Can you do it? He said, why not? You will live in houses you did not build.
Amen.
Why am I going to all of this again? For us to understand that, listen, God planned for us ahead. He packaged his plans and he put them in Christ. And he said, you move into Christ, you will discover what I planned for you. That's what I'm preaching. Now, I'm talking about how faith comes. Let's go back to that Romans chapter 10. So God had a plan. I was reading the other day, Romans chapter 10. It's of, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. I read many translations. I decided to check it. At least 7 or 8 out of 10, they insist on using the word Christ. I even read a commentary and said, listen, as far as the New Testament is concerned, the word of God is Christ. After I checked many translations. King James, of course, uses the word of God. A few other ones use the word of God, but at least 7 out of 10 will use the expression the word of Christ. And I asked myself, what is the reason? There must be a reason why the word of Christ is preferentially chosen. I believe that that's what God intended in that particular scripture. And that's actually what I'm talking about today. That the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing, we've talked about the hearing and hearing thing. In fact, Isaiah said it here, it was referring to Isaiah, Paul said it here. Who has believed our report? He was saying, listen, it is not everybody that hears that believes. That's what he was saying. He said, however, faith comes by a special kind of hearing. The person who hears with a dedication to the word, who knows that this is the answer, is the word of God. He said, that's the kind of person that faith comes to. He now says, what kind of word does he hear? And that's what I'm talking about today. It is not the word of spiritualism. It's not the word of methods. Listen to me. Be very careful as a believer what you listen to. And that's what I want to talk about today. Listen, if any word comes to you and does not magnify Christ, ignore it. Listen, I've told you before how to judge prophecies. There are all kinds of prophets out there. I hope you understand that. There are all kinds. There are three special types. I group them into three of false prophets. There are three groups. There are prophets who are false. They know they are false. They are not doubting that they are false. It's business to them. They've checked how much money you can collect if 200 people give you their tithe. So they decided to start a church and start prophesying. They will go to the church, hear a man prophesy, they're going to repeat that prophecy somewhere. As I was coming this morning, God spoke to me. It's just business. I told you they arrested some men doing crusade in the lorry. They put a crippled man in a chair. A healthy man in a chair. Wheelchair, and pray for him. He will get up. They say he has been healed. The one I heard about that happened in Benin recently. They even told the man to go and sleep in the mortuary. Not a joke. I arranged with the mortician. A man come to me because crying in church. Wait. Take this oil. You go there according to the word of the Lord. You pour it. The dead shall arise. And they poured it. And the man who purportedly was dead arose. And everybody shall praise the Lord. It was business. They put somebody outside to be checking your phone number and your car number. And they will send it to WhatsApp by pastor who has his device open. There are prophets like that. So they send him information. Say, oh, Holy Spirit didn't see anything. MTN, Glow, helped him to conduct something. One of my friends, he said his pastor then would tell him, go out and go and do your, is it Philip ministry or Andrew ministry? I said, what is the Andrew ministry? He said, Andrew was a man who located the boy with 2 loaves and 5 fish. So he will go outside the premises checking, you style, say, this guy, I see in car when he come. It's a new Tuareg, go right hand down. He will write them down, just pass to pastor, say, that guy, the whole pepe. The man will mount the pulpit. You think it's under unction. It's not under unction. They have told him, there is something that you are believing God for. And he said, that car you came with is down for the altar. So there are prophets like that. There are prophets that are genuine prophets, but sometimes when they are hungry, my father, things change. Like Balaam. When Balak says, take money, he said, let me talk to God. Take more money, let me call God a second time. Perhaps the Lord will see your offering and change his mind. And many people have been deceived like that. They come to church and say, when you sow a special seed, God will shout, so long! What do you want me to do for you? There is a kind of offering you will give, God will be provoked. Now hunger. Hunger is terrible. When school fees are due, you will preach bad message if you are not careful. So there are prophets like that. They are genuine prophets, but they went into an angle. And they are the ones, these are the type that give you confusion. Because you don't know when to obey them and when not to obey. There is a third group of prophets. They are under unction. A spirit is speaking through them. God sent a word into their mouth, but the word is a lie. He said, who shall entice Ahab to go to Ramoth Gilead that he might perish there? And one spirit said, I will. He said, what do you do? I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of his prophets. God now said, this is my word. You shall go and you shall succeed. God in heaven empowered a spirit to lie. And the spirit jumped into the mouth of all the prophets prophesying in front of Ahab. And they were not lying as far as they were concerned. They were actually prophesying. They felt the unction enter their body. They felt the spirit take over their tongue. And the spirit said, go, you will succeed. Go, you will do well. Go, you will have victory. But God gave an insight to Micaiah. Micaiah was looking at the spirit entering them. He said, I beheld. He told them what he saw in heaven. He said, therefore, all these prophecies you have heard, with all the gyrations of the spirit and lying prophecies. The one that pained me most, and I had an aggro with the Lord for a very long time. You know what they call aggro? You know what they call aggro? Vex. Something where you keep for heart, your body, they vex. People, they don't speak English. Modern English, you call it aggro. If you never learn pidgin for that side, your English is not complete. I had an aggro with the Lord for a long time. Because there was a young prophet who an older prophet said, God said to me to bring you back. And the young prophet followed the older prophet. And the older prophet prophesied, according to the Spirit of God, said, the fact that you have disobeyed me, you are going to die. And the young prophet died for obeying the old prophet who claimed that he was giving him the word of God. That was a prophet that God sent against Jeroboam. Ha! For a long time, I wondered. So listen, as the Bible says, test every spirit. I don't care the man of God that's opening his mouth. Men of God bigger than you have lied. I don't care the size of your ministry. People who knew God more than you, they've lied. You will not be the first to tell lies. Unless I get killed for your lying. It's true. Because I may get killed because you are lying. I owe it to myself to be sure that the word I obey is in line with what I understand from the word of God. Because the Bible says, but he lied to him. Listen to me, prophets lie. There are plenty. There are some, they know they are not prophets. They are just in the lying business. Listen. In case you are thinking, listen, he's not the first one. Joshua Oyinbo came. Oshafa came and married 35 wives. And people were still following him. Human beings decrease. The man married 35 wives. The founder of Celestial Church of Christ had 35 wives. Not hidden. And people were still following him. They will wear white, remove their slippers. I'm singing. Your sense. I come to preach the word of God to you. And the five girls here are my wives. Sitting in front. According to the year they enter the house, I sit five down. I preach for 5 years. After that, you see the next row, 10. And you still come back. You are the one that wants to go to hellfire. It's not even my fault anymore. No, it's not my fault anymore. Because you still came back. Yes, sure, for you, but I don't know how many wives that one had. But I heard the story of one pastor, one prophet in Lagos. You know what he used to do? When you come, telling your problem, you pick up your phone and dial God. Yes. It was before the days of GSM. He would dial the number of heaven and say, hello, is that God? Yes, your servant of the line. And people sat there. And people believed. He said, hello? So wait, God is talking. All right, sir. All right, my Lord. Hallelujah. And people were killed there. That is the one I'm talking about. Oh, Father, I thank you for deliverance from blindness. Amen. You will be delivered from blindness in Jesus' name. Amen. Blindness will not be your portion in the name of Jesus. Amen. You will have insight. You will have discernment. Amen. Me too, in Jesus' name. Amen. No, why did I get into that? I know what I was trying to say. So you have a responsibility to judge prophecies. This is how I judge prophecies. And that is what I'm teaching. Prophecies for Christians do very few things. Number one, they correct. They correct. And when you are being corrected, you will know, of course. A word comes to you and tells you, listen, the reason why you're having this problem is because you are doing this. And you know you are doing it. That's what prophecies do. Number two, prophecies inform you in line with that which is written and establishes your heart on the promises of God. To a true believer, a prophecy is not allowed to scare you unless you're a sinner, in which it calls you to repentance. A prophecy can wake you up, like I said earlier. If you are doing what is wrong, brings you back to order and gives you consolation and gives you comfort. A prophecy helps you prepare. Sometimes when God wants to do something, you get ready for it. Many times he wants to bring forth judgment on the earth and he doesn't want you to participate in it. He said, look, get away from here. Are you getting my point? In everything, prophecy never, never takes anything away from Christ. It always establishes the truth of Christ in your life. Let me say, as an example, a prophecy will never tell you. Now listen to me. A genuine one will never tell you the name of your enemy in the office. It never does it. A true prophecy never tells you that your problem began when they buried your placenta. And you see the reason in a moment. A true prophecy never tells you about the witches that are arrayed against you. Never. You know why? All of these things take away from Christ. They withdraw from the efficacy of the blood of Christ. This is what it means. If you are in Christ, where your placenta was buried is irrelevant. Are you seeing that? So God doesn't waste time digging up a rotten piece of meat. Because a child of God that's in Christ has a distress. No, he doesn't do that. He doesn't describe witches arrayed against them. Why? Because greater is he that is in them than he that is in the world. And he knows that truly, in Christ, they are seated in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers. So in Christ, all those things mean nothing. For that reason, it's a waste of divine time to be discussing them. When I went to preach yesterday, went to preach to some Christian lawyers in Benin. I had a testimony from one of the policemen that was there, a Christian. And I said, good. If I told him at the end, I said, sir, this is your testimony. And the testimony of the other policeman, there were two policemen there that were believers, one of them police chaplain. I said, I was blessed by this, your testimony. Because I want to tell Christians how to pray. We've been talking about it for some time. I said, don't pray some of these nonsense prayers. He said, it was a policeman in his office one day, bowed down his head to pray. And as he was praying, I think his boss anyway, either the DPO or somebody in charge of that their command there, came in and saw him praying. And at that time, it was a problem to pray in the office. So the man opened the door and saw him and said, listen, next time I see you praying here, I will have you dismissed. He gave us the first name of the person praying. He said, he's a Christian by name. He said, young look, I said, God forgive him. He doesn't know what he's saying. So he said, do you know what happened? What came to my mind is that those who say, God, all my enemies, die, die, die. Stupid prayer. Why? Because he just said, God, forgive this man. He doesn't know what he's saying. He said, do you know what God did? That God carried the prayer he was praying for a few minutes and took it to that man's office for 1 hour. How did it happen? His boss went to the office to sit down and called another policeman, come, to draft a memo warning everybody not to pray in the office. So that other one went to meet a guy in the office so that we can draft the memo. The young memo drafting officer, his pastor came to look for him. So when he got there, he said, oh, please, he's with... Okay, no, he was actually a big man. I think something like an assistant commissioner. He said, he's in the AC's office. So they said, please, I'm in a hurry, I can't wait. So they took him to the AC's office. And they said, please, sir, this man wants to see this man you are talking with. So that one walked in. I said, greeted that one, looked at, oh, you are the boss here. God bless you, sir. Oh, hallelujah. I see death around you. He He said, we'll begin to pray. He said, Omo, the next 1 hour, they were still destroying death. He said, the other, somebody now came and met him and said, the prayer, they say you should not pray, come. Come and see. He didn't say anything. Of course, after that, nobody opened his mouth to say, no praying in this office. Listen, God knows what he's doing. When he told us that testimony, I was so excited. If he's normal Christians, die, die. He said, no. He said, this man does not know what he's doing. Leave him. And God just went and embarrassed. Oh, God. About God. No wonder you are God. 1 hour. After the man himself became a prayer warrior. If you when they say you won't die, you know, go pray. The Lord is good. Now, why did I say all of that? I'm trying to bring us something here. Prophecies never take, excuse me, they never take away from Christ. They don't take away from Christ. Christ has redeemed the believer. A true prophecy will never come to establish that believer has not been redeemed. That is why, if anybody says to me, you will give a seed for your deliverance, I will never answer him. I don't listen to it. You are telling me I'm bound. No, I won't accept it. I will never accept it. You are telling me I'm bound. I've said it many times, but we can't say it enough. There are just three reasons Christians have problems. I've said this thing for years. As of now, I've not seen a fourth one to add to it. Why do Christians have problems? Three reasons. One, ignorance. They believe lies. They will have hold on to wrong doctrines. They don't believe the word of God. My people perish. For what? Lack of knowledge. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So they don't know the truth, they are bound. Number one reason. Second reason why they have problems is simply because they have taken their hands and put into iniquity. So they are experiencing what the Bible calls the just recompense of reward for disobedience. That's the second reason. And that disobedience is plenty. They join those who gossip and backbite in the office, open doors for spirits to enter into their lives. They join those who criticize government morning, afternoon, and night. Therefore, the spirit of blessing cannot come into their business. Because if you speak negatively about the country all the time, you will never have insight in what to do to plant in the land so as to prosper. Yes, you will never have it. The spirit of fear will come upon you. And the only thing you will think about is run, run, run. That's what I mean by disobedience. The third reason why Christians have problems is what the Bible calls the trial of their faith. He said, beloved, count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials. Because the tempting, the trial of your faith works patience. Those are the three reasons. So I've not seen a fourth one. It does not include the power of their enemies. No. No. Their God is too strong for their enemies to be the reason why they have problems. There has to be a reason why it appears like the hand of the Lord is too short that it cannot deliver. Read Isaiah 59, the one we're reading in Benin. God said, not like my hand is too short that I can't deliver. He said, go and check other things. One, your sins have separated you from your God. He said, I looked, there's no justice in the land. He said, it's not like my hand can't deliver. So you see the Assyrians, the Babylonians, all right, the Egyptians, they come against you. And they triumph. It's not because your land is small or your people are few. It is because you have engaged in things that separated you from your God. Therefore, any prophet that comes to you as a child of God and points fingers at your neighbor, your enemies, your placenta, as the reason why you are not making progress or good is not moving in your life, is an ignorant prophet. He may not know he's lying, but he's lying. There are prophets that don't know they are lying. They are also ignorant too. One day, a friend of mine said, tune television. Tune or put on TV. Say, let me just watch what somebody said. Said, the first thing he heard is, do you know where your placenta is? Do you know where your placenta is? And they started trying to identify where your placenta is. After 40 years, you will know where your placenta is. You are 32. You are talking about where your placenta is. Listen, placenta is soft. It rots fast. Your placenta is not anywhere. It don't decay. It has been recycled. Bacteria have decomposed it and new plants have absorbed it. Your placenta is not anywhere. Let me tell you something. I think I said it here that time. Let me just help you again. Many of these doctors, people follow up and down. You know why it's like that? Look around Nigeria. Most of the prominent men of God are from the West. Think about it. Just think about it. I'll give you 1 minute. Just names. You see 3 out of 4. When you mention the largest churches, the most influential people, 3 out of, even T.B. Joshua is from where I went to secondary school. Western Nigeria, they have powerful spiritual influence. No, in Nigeria, very powerful spiritual influence. Very, very powerful. One of the reasons that's where the gospel entered Nigeria from. The spiritual influence is powerful. The largest Pentecostal denominations, majority of them, the people who head them are from the West. So you know what that means? Many of their personal cultural problems has infiltrated their doctrines. Yes, sir. All this chasing of witches, that was their heritage. Yoruba man not getting that job before than juju. So when they became Christians, all they were pushing was juju. It has entered into their doctrine, teaching the whole world how to pursue witches. I know what I'm telling you. Some of those things, in the early days, they were not jokes. Go and hear the story of people like Babalola. The kind of evil spirits those people faced. Let me start giving you some history. But those people sabi juju. Let's summarize it like that. They know it well. They know how to literally cook people. They will sit down and cook people's destiny inside pot. They used to do it. So when Christ came to them, the earliest men went there and fought destiny cookers. Are you getting my point? Those who are cooking destinies. All amongst unbelievers. I don't know where you're getting my point. So the stories are genuine. They are real. But there is a small problem. These are stories of the darkness in a land before light came. People now took those stories and brought them into the church, and that's where the problem began. So you start hearing stories like, I was in Abeokuta. One girl, the grandmother said she would not deliver, and the pregnancy has been going on for 17 years. That day, as I gave her holy water to drink, she began to deliver. You know the truth? It may have happened. The other day, I got to Bojiobo. And as we were coming gathering, one man said, everywhere will be wet. I raised my voice to heaven, and the rain stopped. Today, we will say, those who are raining in my life, there's a problem. You are talking to believers now. Are you seeing the problem? You brought what happened inside the bush where they were in darkness. You fought, you won. By the power of Christ, you now return into the church where there's light. And you are saying, why their destiny is stagnated is because somebody is cooking it somewhere. Hear ye the word of the Lord, it's a lie. What makes it a lie is just one thing. If anyone is in Christ, That's all. People sometimes, I preach somewhere, somebody say, this man does not know African witches. I say, no, you don't know my Christ. That's what your problem is. It's not the power of your African witches. That's my issue. It is the power of my Christ. And if anyone is in Christ, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's what I'm preaching.
It's a faith comes by hearing and hearing. What do we hear? The word of Christ, not the word of spiritual principles. Many people spend time and hours listening to books, listening to tapes, reading books. But faith is not being built because they are not learning the word of Christ. They are learning how to get up in the morning and take your seed and make a covenant with God. That's not the word of Christ. The word of Christ says, He died for all. That those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for the one who died and rose again on their behalf. They can't make a covenant with their money. The money does not belong to them. A Christian can only yield. Say, Lord, I yield. I yield totally. You can't open your mouth and say, God, I will give you 10,000, you will give me 1,000,000. God say, where did you get the 10,000 from? If you need 1,000,000, ask me for it. The worst I'll do is to ask you, what do you want to do with it? I will grant it in Christ. Why? Because Jesus said, ask in my name. Because you have believed in me, the Father himself loves you. I hope you're following my point. I hope you're following my point. Listen, it is the word of Christ that we pay attention to, that builds faith in our hearts. It's not spiritual principles. If you read the scriptures, you must be approaching the Bible to know the word of Christ. To know what Christ has done in you. To know that Christ, in him, your sins have been forgiven. Many people don't know that. To know that in Christ, all things are passed away in your life. In Christ, the blessings of God have been encapsulated. You know, I sat down when I was coming this evening. And I went through, because just today I want to talk about this, all right? Just to end the series of messages on the pursuit and use of faith. So I went through our catalog. And I discovered, in 2005, I preached 5 messages I titled, My Place in Christ. Another one titled, The Image of Christ. When we started Faith Basic Series in 2010, the first message was on this again, titled, Christ is All. Before I began to talk on faith basics, and I spent about 43, messages, that's SFM meetings here, talking on the basics of Christian faith. The first one was, Christ is All. Then the following year, I preached on what I call Only in Christ. 2 messages, then School of Prayer, we took 2 sessions also, talking about just this Christ matter. Then to 2013, 11 different messages like this. 11 on the work of Christ. 2014, I talked on Christ, the final truth. 6 messages. I followed it up with the cross of Christ. What does it mean? 8 messages. I thought about it today. I said, no, I'm not going to sit down here and start preaching another series. I believe there's nothing I want to say now. At least for now. That's not inside. Let's calculate it. 42. 42 messages. Talking on Christ matters. Please. By the time you come back next Saturday, they will all be on one single DVD. All right? They are not videos, just for ease of transportation. Please make sure you buy a copy. All the messages on Christ matters in one DVD. I think believers should listen to it. There I explain that Christ is not just a person. Christ is a realm of existence. Yes. Christ is where the principles of many of these spiritual principles, they fail. Normal spiritual law, what you sow, you reap, right? It's even in the Bible. But in Christ, what Christ sows, you reap. What you sow is forgiven. Are you getting my point? Christ sows it, you reap it. You sow your own, you forgive it. You are forgiven. It appears, are you saying that thing doesn't work? No. What we now sow in the realm of the spirit is now a different thing. You now see what the Bible says, those that sow to the flesh, they are sowing below the realm of Christ. But those who sow to the spirit, they put their emphasis in a different set of things. In Christ, things change. Oh, it changes. It's in Christ where a son of a slave becomes the head of state. That just is in Christ. His heritage doesn't matter. Where he came from doesn't matter. He said, this one was not born of the will of flesh or the will of man, but of the will of God. A young woman, we traveled yesterday. She said, she just took a few minutes to speak with me. Actually, the reason why we went for the program, she was the one that really agitated. She's getting married in about 2 weeks. So she was now telling me, she just came to talk to me afterwards, that how the messages I have preached has been a blessing. She said, even this, my marriage, sir, it just because of the word of God. I said to her, my dear sister, that is a marriage that succeeds. I said, this is the one that's born of the Spirit. I said, this is the one that is born of the Spirit. You've opened, she didn't even know, she was just talking like, this one I want to do is just because of God's word. I said, what you are saying is that this is born of the Spirit. I said, therefore, it will overcome. Are you getting my point? That's what we mean by in Christ. It's born of the Spirit. It's not because of the natural. Every natural prediction we fail. Every natural prediction concerning that marriage we fail. Why? You don't know what began it. You can't see it. By faith we understand that this marriage was prepared by the word of God. Are you getting my point? So that what we see in it will not be made out of that which was visible. That's what happens in Christ. How does faith come? It is simple. Not by just reading the Bible and gaining knowledge. Not just by spending hours listening to messages, but by believing the word of Christ. I can't start praying. Like I said, I'm not going to speak for much longer now. We'll close in a moment. That's what I'm recommending. I decided to go through our catalog to check. Please take time out and listen to these messages. And almost all of them are on our website anyway. Almost all. I doubt whether anyone is missing. Of the 40, is it 43 or 42 counted just now? Or the 42 messages we counted just now, I think all of them are on our website. That website has over 1,000 messages. Just go, and that's a search button. Once you type what you're looking for, if I just type the word Christ, and hit either search series or search message. If you hit search message, it picks the messages one by one. But if you say search series, it gives you the name that is that word in the headings. It's there. Well, what am I going to say? You want faith to enter into your heart. You start looking out for what God did for you in Christ Jesus. This is how it worked. Let me explain it. Everything that God wanted to do, he issued forth as promises. I was teaching in Bonny. I gave an illustration. I said, listen, if God wants to give somebody something, this is how he does it. Assuming he wants to give you a wife. He wants to give you a car. He wants to give you a house. He wants to give you a business. This is how he does it. So, my children, are you ready? You say yes. You know, everybody, you come to collect. He will come and say, you, I have given you a wife. You, I have given you a car. You, I have given you a house. You, I have given you a business. That's a giving session, and it's gone. That's how God does things. That's how he does it. Those who don't know, will say, where is it? Those who have understand, they'll say, amen. As it gets to them, they'll say, amen. As it gets to him, he says, amen. Amen. That's those who have understanding. God doesn't go there and start saying, All right, if you go down to number 15, as you know, after Odao Biagu Junction, you go like this, then you see a house. It doesn't do that. He just comes to you and says to you, I have given you. He came to Abraham and said, a father of many nations, I have made you. Then start running with it. That word will be driving you up and down. That word will move you to places. Then one day you look around, and indeed you're a father of many nations. So when God wanted to bless people, what he did was to just be giving. And how was he giving? Words. Words. He said, okay, who will keep this gift for them? He gathered out a nation called the nation of Israel. And the Bible said, to them was committed the oracles of God. So Isaiah will come and prophesy. Isaiah will come and say, comfort you, my people. He will get up and say, himself took our infirmities and our diseases. He'll just be declaring words. He'll be declaring words. He'll be declaring words. And people say, what is he saying? If Isaiah said, I don't know what I'm saying, no. I woke up this morning and he said, say, and I came out to say. And the sons of the prophets will be writing it down. Writing it down. So what do we do? And they say, bind it up in a scroll. Keep it. The people I wrote the words for, they are coming. Then all those words were packaged. They say, okay, these people have come. How will they receive it? What will be the payment for these gifts that I have given them? After all, their sins separated them from receiving from me. So what do we do? It's simple. We send our only begotten son. He will go down to the earth and he will die for them. And whoever we believe in him, the promises of God are yes and amen. Everyone that believes is automatically activating the promises that God gave from Genesis to Malachi. All the prophets, they were coding these promises. And they were only revealed in the New Testament. So through the New Testament, we're able to understand the things that were spoken concerning us. One of the most powerful book of prophecies is the book of Psalms. Listen, I don't call those portions of the Bible the Old Testament. That portion is called, it's not the Old Testament. I don't know why they call it like that. It's called the Law and the Prophets and the Psalms. That's what Jesus called it. The Bible says it took them to the Law and the Prophets and the Psalms and showed them the things concerning himself. Listen, the life of every believer in Christ is described inside there. When you take a psalm like Psalm 23, it is the Lord gave you something. So when you are hungry, just get up and say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. There's food. There is food. There is food. That is, it's not about it. It's like, what have you done to deserve it? Pastors, please stop taking away from Christ. You hear funny doctrines like, God does not give anything to you until you are first given to him. Lie. That's not in Christ. God gives to you once you have believed in Christ. The promises are there. People say, before you can receive it, you go on a 14-day fast. Lie. That's not Christ talk. When they now approach, they are now approaching based on what they have done. They now approach and say, yes, you know how I gave. You know how I have fasted. You know I have kept my body. So you will bless me. God say, it's not like this. Oh. I'm not saying you shouldn't give. Oh. I'm not saying you shouldn't fast. Oh. But that's not the reason I give to people. Oh. If you want to collect from me, you'll come and say, one day you gave to me. And I will say, when did I do that? You said, I will never lack. That is, once you said it, you've given it to me. Say, who said I was giving it to you? He said, when you gave it, you packaged it in Christ. And I have believed. Christ, in case you don't know, is a surname. It's a surname. What's your name? Eh? What's your name?
Robert Christ.
Eh? What's your name?
Robert Christ.
Thank you very much. You got my point. It's a surname. Everybody here has the same surname. Are you getting my point? It's a surname. So you're not Ikenna. Ikenna, who knows? It's Ikenna Christ. When you get to where they are handing out things, they say, is it your own? You say, yes. How do you know? She's my ID card. My name is Ikenna Christ. See that name in front. That's why Jesus said, I am the children that the Lord gave me. That was Jesus speaking. Christ is a surname. It's a name we bear as believers. That's why, that's why we have to be careful. We don't replace that name, Christ, with any other thing. You don't replace it with your father's name, your tribal name, your nationality. Some people think, oh, I'm blessed. Why? I'm an American citizen. Stupid. You have just replaced the name Christ. No, I have no problem with money. Why? My father is Dangote. Yeah, you have just replaced the name Christ. That's what I mean by replacing the name Christ. Christ is a surname. It's an entitlement name. When I get there, I want to ask for something. What give me a right to it? This is my name, Banky Christ. Lord packaged everything in Christ, and I am in Him. Healing is my portion. I jog or not jog, that's not an issue. Healing is my portion. Healing is your portion.
Amen.
Long life is your portion.
Amen.
Let me say this to you. Forgiveness is your portion.
Amen.
Let me say it again. People say, the consequence of sin will stay even for God forgives. You don't know God. Why don't you just try and understand Him? He said He's able to save to the uttermost. To the uttermost. That is, when I forgive very well. I know how to forgive. I don't just say, okay, don't worry about it. I cleanse of unrighteousness. That is the power to stop doing iniquity. I give it to you. A young woman was caught in the act of adultery. They said, what do you say? He didn't say anything. He said, do you know why she's an adulterer? Adulteress. All of you boys. That's your favorite pastime. You're now bringing somebody for me to stone. That's why I didn't answer them. When they pressed, he said, okay, any one of you standing in front of me here, anyone that has never committed adultery, throw the first stone. All the men, they disappeared because all of them were adulterers. Jesus now said, where are your accusers? She said, they've all gone. He said, good, let's start again. Neither do I condemn you. This is a new beginning. Go and sin no more. The power of the adultery will not affect you anymore. There was adultery in the atmosphere. That was what made that girl an adulteress. So Jesus now said, go and sin no more. That was like, push back the force of adultery in the atmosphere. You walk in holiness and righteousness. I've empowered you. If anything wants to be, you know, tempting you, pressing, say, my son name is Christ. I have the ability to resist you. It's called grace. It said the law came by Moses. But grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Christ is a surname. You want to have faith? Just focus your attention on what God has done for you in Christ. Don't focus your attention on what you can do by yourself. Listen, any message telling you what you will do by yourself, please stop listening to it. If I say some of those, some people say, what are you talking about? Say, for you to enter this realm, you pray for 5 hours. Forget it. That's not Christ. For you to enter this realm, you will fast. I fasted for 14 days to get this power. Say, oh God, Christ did not anoint you. I listen in between the lines when I'm listening to messages. Carnegie was in something when I was listening to him. He was talking about some powerful anointing that operates in his life. Healing anointing. Powerful, powerful. The type that the Lord appeared and put in his hands physically. He said, there are times I will pray and pray and fast and fast and fast, and nothing will happen. He said, there are times I don't even, I'm not thinking. I'm not, he said, I feel so unspiritual. That the anointing will come on me suddenly. He said, why does God do that? He said, maybe he wants me to know it doesn't have anything to do with you. Raymond Bonke said, some people say, what's the price for the anointing? He said, it doesn't have a price, otherwise it would be a purchase. Wow. Wow. So he didn't buy it. That's Raymond Bonke. Listen, in Christ is where the promises of God are kept. The job of a believer is to discover Christ and remove every hindrance. That's just what it is. Because there are things, what the devil does is to send obstructions so you won't be able to see clearly. That's what he does. So your fight is to remove obstructions. If you are praying, it's not to get something, it's to remove the obstructions. Why am I not seeing clearly? So this, my friends are always calling me, they are temptation. Put off the phone. Why am I not seeing Christ clearly? It's my boss, he pays me too well. I don't know whether you get the point. That policeman that said was testifying where I went to preach. He said he used to be Archbishop Idaosa's bodyguard. Oh, he said he was Archbishop Benson Idaosa's bodyguard for many years. He said he told himself, if I follow this man and I'm not a Christian, God will create special hellfire for me. He gave his life to Christ for safety's sake. He said, that man taught me things. He said, the man looked at him, Akusha looked at him and said, listen, my friend, never look at your salary as a source of your income. He said, how did he say it again? I can't remember. He said, your money is not your income. He said, Jesus said, I come. He said, it's Jesus that is your income. Oh, Akusha, that was that. The man said, I had to learn it. The Archbishop taught me not to look at money, not to look at salary, just to believe God and live for God. When the man finished testifying, I said, sir, I told Yinka, I said, now me enjoy this program. Even though I'm the guest preacher. When the man finished testifying, I shook his hand at the end of the day. I said, officer, I was blessed. Now me preach you. But I told the man, your testimony blessed me. Said because he followed that bishop with Dahosa, that Dahosa taught him things. I'm talking about, listen, your life is wrapped in Christ. Amen. The only thing you're supposed to do is just remove everything that don't let you see Christ clearly. That's what you need to fight. That is what you need to fight. Once you see him, are you getting my point? You will see every promise that God. Everything he gave to you, I told you how he gives, is by saying what? Take, I have given. And when he said all of those things, he packaged them and gave them a name called the Christ. And he says for everybody, anybody who will believe. Then Jesus came to collect that package and make the necessary payment. As if anybody believes, this is your portion. That what is coming to you in life is not because of what you did, but because of what Christ did. God promised, he paid, collected the promise. He says, now it's now yours. You focus on that, faith is born in your heart. I hope you got to my point.
Yes,
I think I'm done today. Yes. I finished my message for today. It's the word of Christ. It's the word of who? It's not just the word of God. It's just not just the word of knowledge. It's not just information. It is Christ. Let's bow down our heads. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you. Begin to thank him. Thank him in your own way. Just say, Lord, I thank you. Thank him in your own way. Thank him for Christ. Thank him for Christ. Say, it's the word of Christ. Say, Lord, I thank you for what you did for me in Christ. Thank you that Christ is my own. Say, Lord, I thank you. Because Christ, I'm in him. Everything you promised is mine in Christ. Everything you promised is mine in Christ. Say, Lord, I thank you. Just thank him. Because everything he promised is yours in Christ. Say, Lord, open my eyes so that I might see Christ clearly. That I may see him and I may see the promises that are in him. Say, Lord, open my eyes that I might see him clearly. That I might see him and the things you gave me in him. Say, Lord, I thank you for the power of holiness. I thank you for the power of righteousness. I thank you for victory over the devil. I thank him. I thank you, for in him I live, in him I move, in him I have my being. Say, Lord, I thank you. Say, Lord, thank you, for greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Thank you, because in Christ I live, and I'm an overcomer. Thank you, because my sins are forgiven. Say, Lord, thank you. Because no matter where my placenta was buried, no matter who they are that don't like me, no matter the enemies are gathered there, whatever, My life is hid with Christ in God. My destiny is determined in Christ. I was born not of the will of man, not of the will of flesh, but of God because of my faith. I am in Him and I have overcome. Say, in Christ, long life is my portion. Divine destiny is what I walk in. Say, Lord, I thank you because you are leading me to somewhere great. Thank you, Lord. My plans may fail. It's a sign of your blessing. Because you have prepared for me something that I have never seen. Just say thank you. Saying thank you to him is a major way by which you acknowledge what he has done for you. Just say, Lord, I thank you. I thank you because I'm fruitful in all that I do because of Christ. I thank you because poverty has ended. I thank you because problems have ended. Lord, I thank you. All my needs are supplied. They are met. Not because of what I did. Even if I felt like I deserved them, Lord, I say sorry today. No. It's not because of what I've done. But because of your goodness. Oh, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Say, Lord, I thank you that you did not do what this my brethren will preach, that you gave it to the Jews alone. No! You gave it to Gentiles. Say, Lord, thank you because I'm a partaker in the promises of God. Just say, Lord, I worship you. You are good. You are great. Therefore, I rebuke every affliction out of your body now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Be healed totally.
Amen.
I command that knee to be healed now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I command that shoulder to be healed in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I command those eyes to see clearly in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Every allergy, every trouble be gone in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
The Lord is good.